You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another edition of Bison Report Radio, brought to you by the good folks at Gateway Chevrolet. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum, and what happens when you don't have a show for a little while? You get a jam-packed show, and you get Blake the intern right here in person in the beautiful Bison Report studios in lovely Horace, North Dakota, recording this on a Thursday night, right before Christian Watson and the Green Bay Packers take on the Detroit Lions. So we're going to try to be brief. We're going to try to get me home in time to watch this football game. But joining me, Blake the intern. Blake, how are you, man?
Doing pretty well. You took the words right out of my mouth. Man, a lot has gone on in the last couple of weeks. Holy smokes.
100%. It really has. We're going to dive right into it. Hopefully we don't miss anything, but a lot of this stuff, I mean, you guys that are listening, most of your diehards, you've been following us on Twitter, you've been following the other NDSU media, you know what's up. A lot of this isn't going to be news to any of you. Marty Brown winning the Jerry Rice Award. Very, very cool for Marty, the second freshman in NDSU history to do that, after our guy Trey Lance, who's right up here in the Bison Report studio. Cool. A little surprising to me. I mean, not that Marty's not a good player, but like, don't even have a 1,000-yard season. It just was surprising to me, especially with, you know, redshirt freshman being eligible. And again, it sounds like I'm being negative, but just like, wow, that was the strongest freshman season in the country, was Marty Brown. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was maybe a little surprising. The voting was close. I don't know if you looked at that, but the Montana State back, Jones.
Okay.
He was like five.
No QBs.
Yeah, the incarnate word quarterback was like fourth or something like that. But yeah, it was close voting. And I mean, Marty's had a great season, but yeah, I'd agree.
Cole Wisniewski hitting the portal. I'll give you what I think I know, and this really is just based on a couple of conversations and really kind of speculatory. Like, I certainly wouldn't want anybody like Cole or anybody that represents Cole to be like, that's not true. I don't know this for sure. My feeling that I got was that there was a decent chance Cole was maybe not going to get the answer that he wanted as far as his availability and getting all the way back to 100% in his testing with Kramer. Because the whole thing behind it is like, yeah, you're a great player, but you at 90%, are you better than Darius Givens? You at 88%, are you better than Jalen Crumby? And by the way, you haven't been playing, so you need to get reintegrated into the whole thing. And with potentially the news that you were not going to play in 2024, that might have, I think, maybe been a push out the door. I know they were expecting, like, this was a surprise. Okay, NDSU was expecting to have him as their starting safety in 2025. It's not going to be the case. As Coach said, they're moving on. It's another scholarship to have. You know, when FBS teams go down to 105 players, there's just the portal is going to have so many athletes in it, man. It's going to be insane. And not that you're going to get a Cole Wisniewski. I don't know that you are. But just having more ammo in that portal, I think, is maybe a good thing.
Yeah. Like Coach P said, I don't have a lot. I know some people close to the team or within the team aren't too thrilled about it. But
right.
When are you thrilled to lose an All-American safety, right?
Yeah.
But he'll probably land somewhere big, and some other people landing big places this week as well.
Right, yeah. Matt Ant's taking the Fresno State job. Shout out to Matt. Was always decent to us, and wish nothing but success to he and, of course, his lovely wife, Brenda. Brenda was the best. Sure, she still is. But yeah, very, very happy for them and potentially for another ex-Bison, and that is Brent Vegan. Brent Vegan, of course, the head coach of number one overall seed Montana State, but also in contention for the Utah State job. So both Matt Entz's Fresno State and potentially Brent Vegan's Utah State leaving the Mountain West that NDSU is hopefully entering at some point, but to head out to the newly formed Pac-12. So both Utah State and Fresno State will be Pac-12. Matt Entz, a Pac-12 football coach, potentially soon being joined by former Bison Brent Vegan. You'll love to see that. Those guys on their way up. Mark Farley and Bubba Schweigert on their way out. I don't know if that's good news for Bison fans. Yeah. Was going to compile. I didn't want to be an ass, so I didn't. But I was going to compile Farley and Bubba's career record combined against NDSU. It ain't great. Like, Farley got them a couple times in the beginning, and then I think lost 7, 8, or 9 in a row.
Yeah, since like 11, he only beat him the one time, I think.
Right. So that ain't great. And then obviously Schweigert is 1-5 or whatever the whatever the number is.
Yeah.
So you probably were pretty okay with the status quo if you were Bison fans, because NDSU basically had both Farley and Schweigert under their thumb at this point. But onward and upward, Todd Stepsis, I think the Drake coach, right?
Yep.
Taking on at UNI, that's really cool. Love that. People are like, ah, it's a step up. It's like, ah, if you can coach ball, you can coach ball. Chris Kleiman's proved that. And frankly, anybody that can coach ball to that degree with no scholarships, I'm here for. I wish teams would be a little more open to, like, you know, really highly successful. Well, shoot, Leipold at KU, he came from Wisconsin Whitewater. Like,
yeah,
if you can coach ball, you can coach ball.
Yeah, ESPN, I think, did a story on that on game day. They talked about Chris. They talked about Leipold and a couple other, Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah, if you can coach ball, you can coach ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, All Valley teams are announced. Cam, the offensive player of the year. Cam getting invited to the thing for the Walter Payton. I think he should win it. I don't think he will. I refuse to believe that the people voting on this are competent after what happened to Chris Streveler and Easton Stick. If you're listening to this and you're a voter, I'm sorry, I guess. But you guys as a collective group have not proven that, or have at least proven on multiple occasions that you don't know what you're doing. Okay. Hoops. We've not seen everybody since the unfortunate events of the Samford game. Samford, of course, picked to win the SoCon. Honestly, like, loosely, I would say, in the conversation for an at-large. Probably won't get an at-large, but they're, like, part of that talk. And 17-point favorites or something like that. And NDSU had a 16-point lead with not very much time to go and ended up losing that game in overtime. Would have been a massive win. Wasn't. Just a tough one. But now it's been so long since that game, it's like breaking all that down, I'm not sure is helpful.
No. No, it sucked. I had to write my whole recap over because I usually do it with like 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. But they responded well.
They did. Especially when it was 3 games in 3 days for them to go beat Utah Valley. What was the other game?
West Georgia.
Right, yeah, West Georgia and Utah Valley. Utah Valley definitely being the stronger school. I don't think West Georgia had a win. I'm not sure if West Georgia still has a win.
Yeah, first year as a D1 team. So,
but I mean, they beat on Utah Valley.
Yeah,
and that kept going. Then last night with an awesome win and a true road game as 5-point underdogs at Weber State, the Fighting Damian Lillards. but a really strong Big Sky program, like consistently in the Big Sky championship game, oftentimes in the NCAA tournament. One of the stronger traditions, obviously, you talk about Dame, but, you know, one of the stronger traditions in the Big Sky. And they beat their ass and let them back in the game. I mean, that was 18-2. And there were other points where it was a 16, 18, 20-point game as well. That was a butt-whooping until it wasn't.
That's kind of been the story of the season right
sure
now.
Sure has.
Hasn't it?
Yeah.
But, man, this team continues to just shoot the – like, I think they started, like, 7-for-10. I'm like, are they going to miss today? Like,
yeah.
I mean, Moni I think you said to me right before we were talking about this, like, seems like every time he shoots the ball, it goes in.
Yeah. That was the one thing. So I went to one before, I think it was right after their scrimmage and before their game against Moorhead, I went to a practice. I can't remember if it was you I was texting or if it was like Nate and Jake. And I was like, I'll tell you one thing. These boys can shoot it. The one thing I got away from this practice is these guys can shoot it. And even last year, there were games where it's like, hey, you go 5 of 22 from three, you ain't winning.
No.
I don't think this team's going to go 5 of 22 from three.
No.
They can shoot it, man.
Yeah, the Southern Illinois game, where they shot horribly, they lost by 20-some. And then the Crookston game, they didn't shoot well either, and that was just a bad game.
But that's kind of the thing, right, is like the fear, I guess, is that SIU result where it's like, okay, we're going to try get to the rim, jack a bunch of threes, and in our trips to the rim, we're going to try to get to the free throw line. We're going to shoot free throws, layups, and threes. The threes don't fall. You're gettable.
Yeah, live by the three, die by the three kind of thing.
But that's basketball. Look at NBA teams. I mean, basketball is a three-point shooter's game now. And last night, Mason Miller and Brennan Watkins just bleeding all over the place. Brennan missed the game. I thought one interesting wrinkle there is Mason Miller and Jakari kind of taking over the point guard situation, especially when Stefanowicz has been used as the backup point guard. And I thought it was just interesting that they closed the game without, I mean, he still played, but yeah. I would have thought, gun to my head, like, hey, Brennan Watkins broke his nose. What are they doing? Riding Andy Stefanowicz would have been my answer. And that's just not what they ended up doing.
Yeah. I wonder what the answer to that question would be. And, because like in the Samford game, man, they didn't handle pressure at all.
He played a ton against Samford. Stefanowicz played a ton against Samford.
So when Brennan got his nose, well, broke probably.
Yeah.
I was like,
we might get the masked man. We might get some Rip Hamilton on Saturday against. I mean, he had so much stuff stuck up his nose. Like, I bet you get the masked man on Saturday. I'm not breaking any news, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, Brennan Watkins legacy game coming.
Absolutely.
They handled it well, though. Jakari and Mason, I mean, they're not point guards by any definition, but they handled it well, which I think is probably a good sign in cases like this,
right,
where your point guard goes down.
And they got ball handlers. Like, Jakari is a combo guard. Jakari can handle the ball. Mason Miller's a 6'1 white guard. He better be able to handle the ball. And Javis, actually, for a time, Javis was Damari's backup as the point guard.
That's
so
right.
There are still ball handlers that exist. Obviously, you wonder what's going on with Damari. Probably ask Dave that after Northern Colorado or just check in. But there are more, I think, guys that can play point guard on this team than they have had in a while. Because for a minute, there was like, boy, sure hope Damari can play 39 minutes. Yeah. And that was, there had been a really good NDSU team. I mean, there was a time basically where Taylor Braun was Lawrence Alexander's backup, and Lawrence averaged like 38 and a half minutes a game because we just don't play without Lawrence on the floor.
Right.
And, with Watkins with a broken nose and Damari not available, you're not playing Stefano. It's 38 minutes.
No.
So we'll just see what happens. And I'm not even saying that Brennan Watkins is for sure not available. So we'll see.
Yeah. If he is available, will he play the 30 some minutes he has been playing? Watkins, I mean.
It depends on, because all that really is, if he's not losing physical conditioning, you're not going to get out of shape in 3 days. So it's not a re-injury thing, right? Like, it's not an ankle. Oh, I'm going to tweak my ankle.
Yeah.
You put the Rip Hamilton mask on, your nose is probably not going to get rebroken. So I don't know that there is necessarily like a big concern about re-injury. Okay, moving right along. Shooting the absolute hell out of it from three. 64 made threes in the last four games. So get this. Jakari, Mason Miller, JB, Fetty, Luke Kasupke, Javis, Jackson Mone, and Brennan Watkins are all at 38.4% or better from downtown. North Dakota State is currently fifth in the nation in three-pointers made per game, and they are 20th nationally in three-point percentage. So not only are they making an elite level of threes per game, they are doing it at a also elite level of efficiency. The other thing I'll say is, I guess the Tejavis situation seems to be resolved. Whatever was going on there with him not playing in the games anymore, he was playing in the games.
Because he started to play in the Utah Valley game.
Yeah.
And there was no day off in between.
Right.
So I
don't know nothing about nothing. I'm not going to ask any questions because I'm not going to get a real answer. So
yeah, I asked.
Moving on.
Yeah. I didn't get an answer either when I asked. So
you get the old Paul Miller, Tyson Ward, Bowden Scumberg. I've seen enough of David players that I'm not going to ask because I'm not going to get an answer. What's that, Nick Saban?
Oh,
I'm not gonna be, so quit asking. Yeah. I'm not gonna get Nick Saban. Anyway, show up for the UNC game if you can. That's Northern Colorado. They seem to be pretty good. Picked fourth in the Big Sky. Should be a great home test. They should line up well with being able to also attend the football game. I think, though, Northern Colorado, because it's home away, Big Sky Summit, I would guess that they just got beat by 12 by St. Thomas in Greeley. That would be my guess. I can't imagine it was in St. Paul.
I would assume it was, in the mountains there, yeah.
But, you know, one game doesn't mean the next, and whatever. You still got to take them seriously. I think it'll be a really good mid-major test and a fun basketball game. The football game's at 2, should be done at 5. Go out, have dinner, come back to the basketball game, pack the shack, as always. Signing day. The show goes on. Signing day. Big class. I didn't have time to write down who we thought had scholarships and who we thought were walk-ons. It doesn't really matter. 31 kids, I think it ended up being.
32.
32 kids, okay. Like I said, some of them, they're not all on scholarship. I would guess that they probably used 22 or 23 scholarships spread out among these 32 kids. And good class. I think the record was set a couple years ago, or record was set recently, with 18 three-star kids. This year, NDSU brought in 16 three-stars. I remember when we got Marcus Collins, and he was the first three-star in school history, and people were like, oh, my God. Now there's 16 of them coming in. But I will note that this class will include two of the four highest-rated recruits in school history. That's just based on 24/7's rankings, how they're viewed as recruits, right? And that would be Walker Broughton from North Dakota and Ryan Babbitts, I think a city's kid.
Babbitts?
Yeah.
Yes, I think he's Buffalo.
I think he's
Buffalo, I believe,
or Minnesota kid. Anyway, but yeah, they're gonna end up as 86th grade three stars, being two of the four highest ranked recruits in school history, joining Carson Hagerly, may his lower leg rest in peace, and Cam Miller. So that one worked out. that Cam, the Cam ranking was good. Carson might have been great. I mean, we have. No way of really knowing.
Just too hampered by.
Okay. General takeaways. I'm going to tell you this, guys, now. I'm going to take about half the Bison Report show on Bison 1660 to talk about this class. So, just so everybody's aware of that. I'm going to take about half the show to talk about this class and about half the show to preview ACU. That will be live on Bison 1660 starting 6 hours before kickoff. And will, of course, then be podcasted by 1660. So if you want deeper dive into this stuff, let it go, or wait for that, whatever. You're getting this on a Friday. You're not going to have to wait long. Obviously, that show is going to be on Saturday. You'll get your content, I promise. Looking here. Let's see. Oh, extremely strong class up front. Like, they have three unbelievable O-line recruits. James Nellis is another one. The Green Bay kid.
Alex Warden, yeah.
Yeah, he's a big deal.
Time tackle, yeah.
And then even, I think, folks have, like, a decent amount of excitement about the Tosted kid. And, like, I don't know, it's just a lot of good offensive linemen. And then, man, you talk about Ethan Wood, you talk about Brody Club. There are going to be some dudes on the defensive line as well out of this class. Guys with some real serious big-time offers. And then Elijah Wayne will also be on that. I mean, Wood, Wayne, and Club are big-time gets on the defensive line. versatile pieces like Wayne as an edge now. They list him as a D tackle, means they're going to hang 20, 30 pounds on him. Wood right now already. That's, I mean, you're going to play Ethan Wood at DN, 6'4", 238. You're not adding weight.
That's playing weight.
That's 240. 6'4", 240 is playing weight.
Yeah.
Maybe they want him at 250 or 255 just because he is that tall.
Sure.
But that's born ready. That's ready to rock. One other kid that I'll mention that looks like he could step on. And thing I mentioned this too. I briefly spoke with a staff member. When you play tight end here, God love all the great ones. They're never ready as true freshmen. Gabe Cunningham looks ready. Like tomorrow. Not even next fall. He looks ready now. But you have to know what the fullback's supposed to do. You have to know what the slot's supposed to do. You have to know what the wide tight end, which is the position you're playing, is supposed to do. You kind of also have to know what the tackle next to you is going to do. Like, there is so much take in on tight ends. Babich didn't play as a true. Gindy didn't play as a true. Ellefson didn't play as a true. Like, it just doesn't happen. I don't think it's going to happen at Cunningham. But when he's a redshirt freshman, watch out. And him and Jet Zabel could feed families.
Yeah. Does that say 6'4", 240? I mean, he's a double butterburger and cheese curds away from probably playing.
Yeah.
But like you said, there's a lot that goes into being a crew chief.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, he's exciting, though. Ooh, he's exciting. And there have been interviews I've listened to where they've talked about him like this as well. So.
Sure, sure. Also, the craziest thing is, like, there's a billion guys with linebacker designation in this class, and I get 100%. So you're losing Wirtz, you're losing Gully, you're losing Oscar Benson, you're losing Kubitz, and they will lose Kopp soon enough. Some of these kids are walk-ons, but Sam Anderson, St. Michael, Carter Apple, Wisconsin, Menasha, Wisconsin, Gavin Sell, Woodville, Wisconsin, Jacob Urbanek, Maple Grove, Minnesota, and Damian Devine.
And Brixis.
Yeah. So is that six linebackers?
Yes.
They're either all not gonna stay at NDSU or they're not all gonna stay at linebacker. Devine, I think, has he might end up being an end. I'll just tell you that right now. And then, you know, some of the walk-ons might end up moving to fullback or moving to tight end or whatever. They're not gonna have six linebackers from one class, especially, you know, if there is a potential move to like a 4-2-5, which is, I think it could happen. You know, that's definitely the way college football is going now. 4-2-5 and 3-3-5 are the defenses right now. I think even maybe primarily to defend South Dakota State, NDSU is stuck in this 4-3. But that, like, that Jabril, Jasir, Travis Beck hybrid position, it's hard to recruit. No, they got Donovan Wallen. So,
well, yeah.
And they got Enoch. So maybe it's not that hard to recruit. But just long term, it's like there's a very specific athlete for that. And it's hard. And we've seen some of that where it, like, hadn't, like, they tried Ladarchik and it didn't go that well to, you know, to drop him down into there.
Yeah.
They're just sometimes where it hasn't gone as well at the Sam spot. But this is a ton of linebackers, man. Flips. Elijah Wayne, we mentioned. Elijah Wayne was the number 3 rated kid in South Dakota State's class.
Yep.
They flipped him late, and that had to be real annoying for Jimmy Rogers. And then Damian Devine, another 3-star kid that they flipped from Villanova. They had offered him in June. I don't know what the difference is, because I wouldn't think that safety Cole Wisniewski leaving has anything to do with Damian Devine deciding to be, you know, like, it's not like, oh, the Cole scholarship opened up. Well, no, Damian had an offer in June. So, you know, I think he probably had the ability to do that if he wanted to. I'm interested to know. So, no QB last year. I don't remember what happened. I think maybe they lost him late.
Ryan Bowe, I think, went to Northwestern, right?
Northwestern. Shout out Dave Braun for quarterback stealing. right, that is what happened last year. So then they bring in Jacob Kilzer, who is on like the same track as far as eligibility is concerned. And obviously that didn't work out because he now plays wide receiver.
Correct. Right.
So that what was interesting to me, because I thought they might give Preston Brown in this class an athlete designation, maybe some QB, maybe safety, maybe wide receiver, whatever. We just need him on campus. They gave him a QB designation. I think what you might see is, well, if anything happens to a QB, either Xander, my dog, the Z-Man from Florida, or Preston Brown could end up being QB3 because Cam can't come back.
Right.
You got Cole Payton. You got Trey Drake and Nathan Hayes.
Yep.
Well, you lose one of those guys, you're out of luck. I mean, you're out of luck at the three spot. Yeah. So you wonder, with two true freshmen, is one of them sort of being groomed as like, hey, you're really more QB4 than you are the scout team QB or developmental QB, just in case. I mean, Cole Payton, not that he's had a ton of injury history, but he's a big target, and he just went out for the season with a broken, you know, thing. So, like, you keep that in mind. I think that's maybe why they're comfortable with two QBs in that class, because you had no QBs last year. You bring in the Air Force Academy kid. He moves to wide receiver. You got to replenish the QB pipeline.
Yeah, I think they do like Xander. I don't know what they've said about Preston Brown at all, but I've heard some really good things about Xander Smith.
I'm going to talk to Tim about it tomorrow, which is today when you're hearing this. But yeah, I'm going to ask about the QBs.
Because he wasn't, when he first started getting recruited and I was looking at his pro, he didn't have any stars. I think he has two now. He got bumped.
But he also had an IU offer, right, and some other decent offer.
Like a Coastal or a...
No, it was Power 5. Wow, here.
Indiana, Kansas.
The beautiful... and I don't think some of those ended up being committable offers, because I think he might have potentially had an injury. But at one point, Xander had... Yeah, IU and KU.
KU, yeah.
So kind of two non-traditional football powers that have dudes in Leipold and...
Kurt
and Cignetti were interested, to the point of at one point making an offer. I'm not saying that necessarily they beat KU and Indiana for Xander Smith, but he's a interesting prospect. Historically, the guys that have worked out, and dude, Xander Smith could be the best quarterback in NDSU history. Probably not, just because of where that bar is. But historically, it's been this footprint. And what I mean is like an 8-hour drive or less. Because Cam, Solon, Iowa, that's the footprint. Trey, Marshall, Minnesota, that's the footprint. Brock, Wapaka, Wisconsin, that's the footprint. Carson Wentz, Bismarck, North Dakota, that's the footprint. Easton Stick, Omaha, Nebraska, that's the footprint. The dudes that have made it have been within the footprint. The dudes that have struggled a little bit, Zeb, not the footprint. Holden Hotchkiss.
Yep.
Not the footprint. And dude, like twins, like Henry Van Dellen didn't work out, right? Like there have been scholarship kids from the footprint that haven't worked out either, but it seems like the dudes that like make it are traditional upper Midwest high school QBs that NDSU kind of finds kind of within their, what I call a half a day's drive to go to go visit the coach.
I don't know why that. I would have no idea why that is. That floor, like, out of footprint recruits like that, like you're just saying like QB, here.
But, dude, I mean, plenty of dudes have come from out of the footprint at other positions.
No, I didn't mean other positions. But yeah.
QB, right. Yeah, I mean, Christian Watson, Trey Dempsey. Like, we could go.
Oh, the Florida pipeline is just crazy.
The Florida pipeline, the Texas pipeline. Even, honestly, like, KC, Missouri is sort of getting, like, out of the foot. Kansas City, I'll tell you this, Kansas City's a lot farther away than Omaha. People don't think that. I tell you, I've traveled. Kansas City is far. Omaha is not that far. Those are my definitions there. Divine and Wayne, obviously the flips are cool. Tune into the Bison Report show. We'll get you going. Okay, home stretch. Abilene Christian. Maverick McIver's got a sweet name. Good QB. That'll kind of be, I think, sort of a situation. I think I'm with Tim. Jacob Clark. Like, he's a bomber. That's what he is. Not really too terribly scared of him running around, but he can spin it, and he's good, and you have to respect him being good. I don't know how much respect goes to the weapons, but you respect the QB.
Yeah, I was talking with Will Mostert yesterday, and I kind of asked him about that. He's like, he compared him to Bauman from the standpoint that he's very...
Static in the pocket.
Yes. Yeah. And that, but yes, he's very good. I think he was 11th in the Walter Payton voting, okay. Something like that. Texas Tech transfer, though.
Sure.
A lot like Clark, right? Minnesota transfer.
Yeah.
Didn't play, had some injuries, followed the... Well, I don't know if Clark followed the coach, but
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. A lot of comps there, and they have a good O-line protecting him in pass pro as well. So
yeah,
he's a threat.
They keep him upright. And I think, you know, NDSU is doing everything they're supposed to do for two reasons, right? So I think there's being a ton of respect shown here by North Dakota State staff, specifically Coach Polisek. And I think it's two reasons, right? Number one, you don't let your team get ahead of itself. You don't want this to be a 10-point game in the fourth quarter and they have the ball and you're going, why is this stressful? You know, like, and you're keeping your starters in and things like that. And at the same time, you also are probably trying to, and this is, I think, what coach is really trying to do. You're trying to get people there. Okay. 24.5-point favorites. Right now, I would say probably trending towards 12,000 people there, especially after how well I think attendance kind of went in the regular season. You're looking at a cold tailgate. You're looking at 24.5-point favorites. You know, coaches asking people to play with 12. They got play with 12 t-shirts at Shields. Like, I get it, man. 100%. Attendance not tracking great. Like, we just always ask, like, go out and support the kids. I get it, man. There's a financial commitment to that, too. Like, you and I get to go because we're working. But I understand it's a financial commitment. It's a time commitment. It's cold to tailgate. I understand all those. But we used to pack the dome. We used to find 18,000 people that wanted to watch playoff games. And I get it. 24.5-point favorites. I get it.
Yeah, I mean, there were probably 18,000 people watching Furman in 2013.
Dude, yeah.
And you had, well, the Drake game last year was like kind of an exception. But
anytime you go non-scholarship, blah, 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 I get that.
But yeah, just the last few years, I wouldn't expect. I got an email or something saying that we've only sold about 9,200. And I think that was yesterday. Or maybe it was 2 days ago. So
sure,
but they'll probably get into that five figure mark. I would think
we'll see.
We'll see.
As far as the rest of the actual like game stuff, for me the problem right now is Abilene Christian giving up 29 points per game, and they ain't playing NDSU, and that's the problem. Is NDSU is going to be able to name their score? You saw what NDSU's done to every opposing offense. Even when they struggle, they really only give up 20. 24, 23, 19, whatever. Abilene Christian's going to have to get to 40, and they're not going to do it. And that's kind of where I'm at. It's just a matchup problem where I don't see how ACU stops anything NDSU wants to do offensively, throwing it or running it.
No, I mean, nobody other than South Dakota State has really stopped them throughout the year. I mean, USD held their own for a little bit, but... A team that's given up 30 points a game, and I know they just shut out NAU, and okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But
NAU ain't NDSU.
No.
Yeah.
They haven't stopped anyone. Cam is going to throw it all over the field. Marty's going to pound it.
Or run. Yeah.
Or run.
Yeah.
Or anything they want to do.
Yep.
Would be hard pressed to believe it. That's not going to happen.
Okay. Ultimately, I think this game's going to end up looking a lot like opening round playoff games of the past. Obviously, ACU is a scholarship team. It's not like playing Drake or San Diego, but honestly, it's going to be a little bit like playing Drake or San Diego. I think you're going to see the Bison roll. Maybe some backdoor stuff. 52-17. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, 49-24 is what I got.
Okay. I'll buy that. Okay, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Blake, the intern, for stopping by. Tune in to the Bison Report Show on Bison 1660 before the game. We'll see our friends over at Gateway Chevrolet. Have a great weekend. Go Bison!